this experimental music off and turning the mic on, turning the speakers off. So do you feel like agreeing in this? Okay, here we are. This is another great episode of Open Up and Bleed on K-Chung Radio. It's a windy day here in the station, and this is episode 6. My name is Eugene Kotlyarenko, and I'm joined in the studio by Nick Corossi. And let me just tell you a little bit about him. He is a professional, as you can see, all of the viewers. You can see he's a performer and a clownish type person, and a writer, comedian, actress. He does it all, and we are lucky to have him here. We're going to try to get the mic close without ruining the frame here, okay? And
hello, everyone.
I think if you talked, I'll just make it more sensitive, and you can talk less loud. I think you should point that the other way, Brian. I think it's... Are you hearing that on air?
A little bit.
Yeah. I think Nick and I should sweat anyway. A little sweat equity never hurt anyone.
It's getting hot in here.
So, Nick, thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me.
One thing that's been on my mind lately is these great ads for Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen them?
Those are great.
Yeah, and I love how many times Tom Cruise is on them. It's like this kind of 70s-style ad that has, like, it's a kind of illustrated, very realistic illustration rendering of moments or from the film or action, characters in action, mm-hmm. And there's maybe 10 characters on it, and up until just moments ago, I thought 7 of them were Tom Cruise in different moments from the film. But I discovered in walking over here, I walked by a bus stop and saw the poster really close.
Yeah.
And only 5 of them were Tom Cruise. One of the Tom Cruises was Simon Pegg.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then one of the other people I thought was Tom Cruise was like Alec Baldwin or something.
Yeah, they could also be wearing a Tom Cruise mask. Or who, that guy, that's not out of the question.
Right, right. Like Mission Impossible 1, like... So you think maybe there are multiple Cruises who wear Cruise masks?
Yeah, that's happened before in
just
previous installments.
Just in the installments. First one. Does that happen in other ones?
In the second one, he puts a ton in John Woo's Mission Impossible.
Right, John Woo's Mission Impossible.
He puts his mask on the bad guy, and he's taped at the mouth so he can't say anything, and the guy kills his own bad guy thinking it was Tom Cruise. And it turns out that the bad guy, he was wearing the bad guy's mask.
The bad guy was wearing a Tom Cruise mask.
So you have to understand that he has a lot of masks of his own face around at any given moment.
Okay, so let me segue that into saying, Nick, do you feel like you wear a mask as a person?
Yes.
I find it extremely hard.
It's like Ben Stein in The Mask with Jim Carrey. He's a mask professor, and he wrote a book about how we all wear masks every
day. What's it called? We all wear...
Something like that.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. Ipkiss.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Ben Stein is famously conservative.
Yes.
But that did not impact, in former times, the success and popularity of his quiz show on Comedy Central.
Win Ben Stein's Money.
Yeah, Win Ben Stein's Money. Whereas if a conservative, not only pundit, but former policymaker, attempted to have a mainstream show...
Yes.
Today, they probably wouldn't be allowed to have that show.
That was back when we still had mystery in our lives.
No, it was... Yeah, it was just bad. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you think it's just because it wasn't easy to, like, know that? I think everyone, even as a
teen... It wasn't as easy for people to complain about it.
Yeah, it wasn't as easy for people to voice...
They're stupid. Yeah, exactly.
Well, is it stupid? I mean...
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear... I hate everyone, and I hate everything, and so that's my mask that I wear right now.
No, but...
I don't want to hear anyone's opinion.
Let's take a step back. I don't ever know if I... And we have hung out maybe something like 10 or less times.
Yeah.
Something like 7 to 10 times.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever met who you really are.
I don't know who I am.
Exactly. You kind of don't know who you are, right?
I don't know.
Because if you look at Nick Horosi, really difficult to spell his name, but if you look at the record here, it's written there.
There's one person.
Well, but here's the thing. We have 1,000 viewers right now. You have to multiply that number by 1,000.
Okay.
We have 1,000 viewers right now. But in posterity, this YouTube record of this could get hundreds of thousands.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
When we hit it big, one of us will every
is
all
this
of
a
these.
Competition? Who do you think will hit it big first?
Me.
You or me? Well, I feel like in a way you've already had your chance to hit it big.
And I failed.
Well, you've done all these big things.
We lost.
Exactly. You don't acknowledge it. You've done all of these big things. But you still haven't capitalized on it.
Yes.
I always tell people about my dear friend, Nick Corrosi.
Yes. I remain anonymous.
But, like, for instance, tell people what you've done. Like, tell people what you think my favorite things are that you've done.
The hoverboard thing last year.
This was a hoax that capitalized on people's nostalgia of an interest for the movie called Backs to the Future.
Yes, as if it came out. Now, of course, there's all sorts of fake videos about that and Lexus and all this stuff. But that was one, and then I did this alternate.
Okay, and so in the way, let's contextualize a little more.
Yeah.
And so you came up with a thing called the hoverboard, and it was a flying skateboard, in the movie, and then you had Christopher Lloyd, the Doc from Back to the Future, come and kind of present. Tony Hawk was there, and Best Coast was there,
all
these celebrities are like, "Well, I'm like fucking flying," and it looks like they're hovering.
Exactly.
But clearly, it was a hoax done with wires and CGI.
Yeah,
and you were the. Are you going to fully take credit for that?
Yeah, I mean, me and friend Danny Jelinek directed it, and I kind of came up with the idea and the marketing scheme of it, and then we both.
Came up with the trolling.
And then we both kind of saw the video and all the elements of it to completion, and it was a gold hit.
So then what else?
Then there's the alternate ending for Batman Dark Knight.
Well, it's not
Rises.
The alternate ending, right?
It was the leaked ending
that you guys released before Batman. You can see I'm a super fan.
Yeah. And that on YouTube, a lot of people reposted it, and it was basically Bane beating... Not only beating Batman, but then cutting off
beating
his head.
The shit out of Batman,
cutting
pissing
off his,
on him,
cutting up, putting his balls in his mouth,
right?
Cutting off his head, fucking his decapitated head, and then kicking the head,
right? And he gets a
blood and
he
cum.
Gets a BJ, and then
but
the genius of it was that you guys filmed it in a very Christopher Nolan-esque fashion, and then you edited that together with the music, and then it looks really real, the costumes and the voices, and then you reprojected that
onto a screen and had two ushers with light sticks on either side, and a guy filming it off of a
and so then
cell phone,
it's a guy filming it on a cell phone, and then that's what was uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah, it looked
not like some pristine footage.
Yes, yes.
But a guy who's seeing like a preview.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Like a guy.
And then everyone at the end is like, what the fuck? And then there's like kind of like very there's like very like bad laughter.
Barely. Nobody
confused.
Liked it. Everyone. It was like as if everyone was confused.
But how many people
it.
Did you really have in there? Just like 4.
Yeah, it wasn't that many people. And then I mean, I've done many things, and nobody could connect the dots but you. So I'm happy that you recognize my secret celebrity, and I try to hide it from everyone so that I can always have a completely fresh start.
Right. And so you worked for the thing called Funny or Die. You worked there, right?
Yes.
And you worked with a lot of celebrities.
Yes.
And you also banged a lot of the celebrities that you worked with. Is that true?
No, not necessarily.
Not a lot of them,
no.
Any men?
No men.
Have you ever banged a man?
I've never banged
a man. If you want to continue to remain relevant in today's culture,
I think I need to
pitch and catch.
I need to get a little gay about it, and I think that everything about... I think then I'll definitely beat you to celebrity if I got a little gay about things.
Well, we're not... Look, I guess I was going to take down fame and celebrity for a second, but actually, I think you're right in saying that if we're going to expect that anyone ever watches this in the future, literally, what we will need is fame and celebrity.
Yes, that's the only way.
That's the only prerequisite. That's the only thing. And that could be also infamy as well. Like, if you murder...
If I pulled a Sandy Hook, and then they would look at all of this.
Well, you know, okay, I was reading an article today about, like,
it works. That's the crazy thing, is that it works every time one of these guys kills someone.
Every time.
Everyone reads and posts exactly wanted you to.
I definitely read his...
It works 100% of the time, and it's almost the only thing
How many people do you have to kill?
You have to... these days...
Minimum four.
There's something that I call too many people theory, and it's that there's too many people in the world. So now, you don't just go around assassinating one person. One person in the 1800s is, like, around 15 or 20 people now. So you have to take out 15 or 20 people to equal the one person.
You know, I have a lot of theories like this, but yours is much dumber.
Yes,
than mine.
But that's why mine will stand the test of time and communicate to the largest mass.
It doesn't translate.
More people theory.
Okay, it sounds good. The name of the theory is well chosen. The substance of it is poor.
I think
piss poor.
Well, I think that basically, if tomorrow we took down a school together.
I'm not participating. Everyone
would watch this video and listen
to
the radio.
That's true.
It's like, I've never seen anything
and then they will be
more tried and true than that.
They
formula.
Will be shocked at how irrelevant to their concerns this was.
Yeah.
Let me say
Except
this.
Except that we said we were going to do it.
Right. It only touched on it in a very superficial and comedic comedic
Which
fashion.
Is almost scarier if it happens.
I'm trying to do this thing with my hair. Tomorrow, well, let me say this one thing. I read... I think an article today that was on point and said that basically white people, just by existing, are racist.
Yes, yeah.
And that's true. We live in this society that institutionally oppresses people who aren't white guys.
Yes.
And by being white guys, we're racist.
We're racist.
So then this person kind of went on to say... That, you know, when a person of color or a Muslim or something kills people, then they're a terrorist.
Yes.
You know, or a killer. But when it's a white guy, he's unbalanced, unstable, no one knows. And then the author was saying, like, why do we give these, like, white killers the benefit of the doubt? Well, white people love their serial killers.
They love them.
They even make movies about
them. Yes, right now there's a TV show called Aquarius.
Oh,
and it's with David Duchovny.
It's about Manson
movie? And so Manson is a sexy Manson. He's a sexy Manson, and the movie fictionalizes...
It's a show.
The show fictionalizes all of these sexy things that sexy Manson does. So his entire life has now been worth it in that he now has... He's
been completely transformed.
Yeah, he's a main character of a hit NBC show, and all he had to do was rip out a baby from a woman's stomach or whatever. So it works 100% of the time. You'll always work.
Okay, well, wait. My whole point was...
About race.
Yeah, it's like, if there was a movie about a black serial killer, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like,
That's why Christopher Dorner was so interesting, because
He was the one who wanted to hunt for all the cops, right?
Yes, but he ended up...
He was great.
Yeah, he was a great...
They should make
He goes down in the annals of history.
Yeah, because he's a killer with a clear purpose, and it wasn't like God told me to. It was like...
We all read
I'm a vigilante.
We read his thing. He was mad at cops. He was almost ahead of his time, because if it were to happen...
If it happened now, he would literally be fucking Robin Hood.
Yeah, people would wear shirts of him with his face on it if Dorner happened now in a post-Ferguson society.
Yeah.
Like, he was ahead of his time like any true brilliant genius, you know? So.
And unlike us, he was brave enough to give up his life.
Yes.
Now, remind me, he was a former cop, right?
He was a cop, and then he saw the corruption, and he saw racism in the cop community, and he decided that he was going to kill all these cops. And then was
how many
sad.
Did he kill? Two or three?
I think two or three, and then he accidentally killed a bunch of people. In, like, the crossfire or whatever.
Oh, shit.
And then, so that's why
that
he's bad. I know, that's why he's not beloved. But he also is sad that he knew that he was going to die and he
was
sad.
Wait a second. It doesn't look like any audio is being recorded here.
Maybe that's why everyone keeps leaving.
That's weird. Why do you think that is?
Does that mean that it's on?
No, that means it's on. Is it that my Skype is on? because I had to talk with my mom. That just doesn't really look like...
Well, I'm sure this translates to radio.
This is really good radio right now.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he wanted to see Hangover 3, and he was sad.
Dorner?
Yeah, he was sad in his thing that he wasn't... He knew that he was going to die, and he was hoping that it was going to be better than 2, which he didn't like, and he was sad that he couldn't see Hangover 3, which, in his eyes, was going to be the redemption of the series. He was like, I think this one's going to be really good. It's back to Vegas.
I've watched that. I didn't like it. Anyway, so what happened with that? He died at the theater? Well, they caught him?
No, well, he went into a cabin in Big Bear, and then you can hear on the live broadcast of it that he was inside, and the cops are like, burn the motherfucker alive! And then they cut out of the news. They're like, well, and then they burned the house within it.
They
and
did that, right?
Then they claimed that, like, he set it on fire.
Right, he set his... But you heard them
say it. You heard them say it, like, we're gonna burn the motherfucker!
Okay. I'm wearing this hair. I'm changing the subject. I'm wearing this hair because I'm going to be going on my first official Hollywood audition tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
For the role of clerk.
Yeah.
Hospital billing clerk.
Yes, in what?
A show where two older men leave their wives to become homosexual partners.
Oh, hilarious.
It is a...
Is it like comedy. Fake? Is it like they're faking it, or are they...
No, they're doing it. They've been in love for over 20 years.
This sounds like a hit.
It's on the stream called Netflix.
Oh, wow.
It has four huge actors in it. All of them have been in movies that I like.
You know, I watch Netflix so much.
Let's see if you can guess. One of the actors is the star of Apocalypse Now.
Martin Sheen.
Right. One of the actors is... two of the actors are two of the three main actors in the movie called Working... In the movie called 9 to 5.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know those actors.
That's a feminist flick from the 80s.
That's no wonder I haven't seen it.
You've never heard of 9 to 5?
No.
Okay, one of these actresses is in the movie called Clute.
Nope.
No, you don't know what that is?
I don't know about Clute.
I thought you know about movies.
I do, but not Clute.
You don't know what the movie Clute is?
I was going to say, Eugene, I watch Netflix so much.
Right, some more material.
I watch Netflix so much that sometimes I think that Netflix is like my girlfriend.
Oh. No.
I think that I watch Netflix so much, I'm like, should I change my relationship status because it's like my girlfriend because I care about Netflix so much? Yeah.
Do you actually... See, this is like, I don't know who I'm talking to. Do you actually watch Netflix?
No.
I don't have it.
I don't have it either.
But, for instance, yesterday I showed my film A Wonderful Cloud.
Oh, at Netflix.
Nope, at the Soho House.
Oh, that's very fancy.
Wow.
What happened?
Okay, have you ever been to the theater at the Soho House?
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Nice, yeah.
So nice. Yeah. Wow.
So it was a big fancy event.
No. I mean, like, nothing happened. It was just cool to show it to people. No, I don't really think there's anyone too powerful or could help me.
Yeah, probably not.
No. But when I came up after the movie, I was like, wow.
Was there any famous people?
No, but I had dinner there, like, before the movie, and Derek Jeter walked in.
Oh.
He's very famous.
Yeah, he's pretty famous.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
He's, tall, but not, like, super tall.
He won't stand the test of time.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, already, like, my girlfriend, Joan, she had no idea who he was.
Yeah, who cares about this guy? People that have that life, their life is so good when it happens. I can only imagine there's no better life than that man's life. That it doesn't... There's no suffering that takes place for him to exist past his own life.
What about Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
A person who, basically, until they were caught cheating on their spouses all the time, like, basically had a very similar life/reputation as Derek Jeter.
Yes.
Potentially more notable even before the thing because he's a black guy in golf.
And it's a solo sport, so it's all focused on them. But he's doing so poorly now, and he's not going to beat Jack Nicklaus's record, so he's not going to be some kind of... He's not going to have all the records, you know, so...
But I'm saying you think Tiger Woods will be remembered, right?
He'll be more remembered than Derek Jeter, but ultimately forgotten.
Yeah. Tiger Woods will.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think he'll be forgotten. Well, yeah. What do you know? I know sports players from, like, the 90s. Like, I know the short guy who was in the NBA, like, Muggsy Bogues. We know who that is.
Yeah.
Because he's the short guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't you remember his teammate who dressed up as Grandmama? Larry Johnson? Do you remember
that?
No,
I don't remember that.
Okay.
No. You're a little older than me, so.
I'm not older than you.
You are, but.
What year were you born?
87.
Damn, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
Dude, this is next year. It's going to be this. So I thought this would be a good haircut for good hairstyle for Clerk.
Yeah,
do you think that's good?
Yeah. This is going to be big. You see, you have an agent. You're going on audition.
Yeah,
now.
I got a manager.
That's good.
You're
playing the Hollywood game.
I don't think that I understand this character.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Here's a few of the lines.
You have to look really, like, funny and ridiculous.
Well, give me... Where's my bag?
I don't know.
Is my bag out there, Ryan?
All right, I'll take
Why don't you go grab... No, you go grab the bag. Go grab the bag. So while Nick goes to grab the bag, it's the blue one, you know? It looks blue.
Wait.
The one you were grabbing, you fool.
This isn't blue?
It's, you know, it's a type of blue. Over here, bring it on camera. It's gray? What would you call it?
Yeah, that's silver gray.
Could be light blue. Here, I got the script right here.
All
right. Yeah, so why don't you maybe, like, help me audition?
Yeah, I am I'm also a professional actor, and I've been on Conan O'Brien show, Jimmy Kimmel show.
Wow.
I'm actually quite famous, so I'll help you out with these lines.
Well, help me out. Okay. So I'll be the clerk, and you be Sam Waterston.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's who it is. Okay.
That's the one that people had.
Yeah.
So it's Sam Waterston, Martin Sheen.
His daughter is kind of like...
She's the one who was in Inherent Vice. So do you ever do a comedy skit with her?
No.
Would you consider yourself a predator?
No.
No. Do you think you have respect for women?
Yeah.
You just objectified Sam Waterston's daughter, though.
So?
But that's respectful, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I would be so happy if someone was like, hey, you know Nick Crossy, and some girl is like, oh yeah, he's pretty sexy. I'd be like, wow, like, well, my day, what a wonderful day.
Do you think you're a sexy guy?
No.
Do you ever think about how you could make yourself seem or be more sexier or appealing?
No.
Physically?
No.
You don't ever think about that? You don't think, oh, I'm going to wear this clothes, clearly, no.
No.
But, like, I'm going to shave today to be more sexy.
No.
I'm going to brush my teeth for the first time this week.
I know.
Your teeth are good. You probably brush them twice a week.
So let's do this stupid scene.
I'm concerned that no one is hearing any of this.
Yeah, I mean... It would make more sense than anything to just talk, like, about all of this stuff and for no one to hear it. It makes more... That makes more sense than people hearing it. No one heard it.
Very existential.
Yeah.
Like, very, you know, whatever, Beckett. Yeah, okay. Beckett-esque.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll be clerk.
Right.
Sorry let me try again. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm looking for Mr. Hansen's spouse.
Well, I guess that's me now, isn't it? I'm the spouse.
Don't get too excited.
Terrible.
I'm bad, right?
Yeah, you're not gonna get it.
Oh man, I can't even read.
No, you're done.
Don't get too excited.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm... What a stupid, obvious scene to do in a thing about
two gay guys.
Like, I'm looking for the spouse.
Hey,
like,
hey,
I
hey,
guess
hey,
I'm
hey,
the
hey.
Spouse now.
Yeah, I guess that's me. I'm gay married.
Yeah. What year is it? 2015? Well, I suppose I'm the spouse.
And then I'm all like, don't get too excited.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm from the billing department.
Oh, God. That's a
nightmare. Meet me in my office.
That's a nightmare.
Well, that's what we go through. We go through the nightmare.
What a terrible thing.
Did I get a message or something? Seems like I got a message.
Maybe people are loving this right now.
Someone just subscribed.
To?
My YouTube.
Oh, okay. It said Vimeo, but...
Nope, wrong again. Someone just subscribed to my YouTube. Want to see it? You want proof?
Well, whatever. Oh.
I subscribe to you.
So that means they're watching this?
That's a filmmaker.
Oh, that's good. We only want the cream of the crop listening to our brilliant ramblings.
Listen, okay, Nick. So, now that you're unemployed, self-employed.
Yeah.
You've been fired. You've been let go.
Yeah.
From Funny or Die.
Yeah.
What is your plan to succeed as a creative, a comedic personality in this world?
I gave up.
You've given up.
I've given up, and I think I'm going to die of some kind of cancer pretty early on or something like that.
That's something you're planning for or planning to make happen or what?
Yeah, I don't have any plans or anything. I'm pretty fucked right now for myself.
What are your goals? Hey, will you close that door? I'm hearing, guys.
Oh, God.
Bri, you listening? All right, great.
One listener.
Well, we don't know how many are listening on the radio. There could be many.
I did that last time where I gave my number out if any hot chicks want to...
Oh, you want to do it?
305-951-5156. That's 305-951-5156. You can text me a pic.
And actually, now that Nick is...
Clit nip.
...is trying to improve his career, he's also welcoming texts from men.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. So that'll help me.
Yeah. So, in a perfect world, you wake up tomorrow and all of your dreams come true. These dreams are...
I'm in
Barbados.
And directing the new Star Wars instead of J.J. Abrams and all those assholes.
But you're also in it.
I'm also in it.
Who do you play?
I'm Han Solo Jr.
Jr., right? after his sex with Carrie Fisher.
Uh-huh.
Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess
Leia.
Winona.
Yeah.
Princess Leia has you.
Yeah. Also, I mean, can we... I mean, that those news... Everything's going to be so shitty, those Star Wars.
I don't know anything about J.J. Abrams, and I more or less don't like him.
Yeah,
but
he sucks.
I thought the trailer for Star Wars looked good, whereas I thought the trailer for Jurassic Park looked horrible, and then I went to see the film, and it was horrible.
Yes, it was actually
horrible. It was one of the worst films I've ever seen.
This world of people like Colin Trevorrow and J.J. Abrams making professional fan films, and at least...
It's professional fan films.
Yeah, that's all it is, and they're not... And they take on these franchises, and they're rewarded as if they're the creators of the franchise.
Or as if they're creative.
Yeah, they're not at all. There's not 1 ounce of it.
It's like...
Colin Trevorrow's indie films suck. Everything sucks.
Never seen it. But this is what the equivalent is. It would be like George Lucas... is to James Patterson, a notable airport novel writer, as J.J. Abrams is to the person who is ghostwriting all of the current James Patterson novels that no one knows their name.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, it's even...
No, but what I'm saying is, like, that's what it should be like.
Yeah, but it's not
But he's being celebrated as if he's an original
boy. It's like this one of these things where it's like...
But to be fair...
He's like an amount... He's made his image like a Spielberg...
You kind of look like him.
I know. That's why I'm so surprised how unsuccessful I am.
Yeah.
He's made his image as a Spielberg Lucas impersonator where he does these set videos with R2 and it's like, you know, like, hello everyone. Welcome to Star Wars. I'm J.J. Abrams, the helmer of Star Wars. And meep, meep, boop. Yes, R2, I'll get to that.
I'll be R2.
Yeah. So I want you to donate R2, please. I'll get to that, okay? You know, I'm just here with my little creation, R2. That's right, R2. Well, don't say it. Not in front of the people. We got to bleep that. Not that kind of bleep, R2. Anyway, I want you to donate to the X-Wing Foundation, something that I created here. R2, I'm getting to it, okay? Please.
All right.
So he... And then... I fucking hate him.
Nah, but like, yeah, to be fair, he invented certain things, right? He invented the show
nothing.
Lost? Didn't he do that? That's something.
He was like one of the creator. I don't know. I mean, kind of, I guess. It's really like a Lindelof and Carlton.
What about the guy named in this same universe called Joss Whedon?
Joss Whedon is an interesting thing.
He made Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
He's interesting because, in a sense, he took on...
A franchise
that hadn't been proven as much and kind of somehow made people like it or something.
Well, he did the first one and the second one.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of any of those Marvel films.
But I know that he made the movie called Cabin in the Woods that I like.
People like that, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've only seen parts, but people...
You haven't seen it.
I think Joss Whedon is better than J.J. Abrams in that whole realm of puppet directors where you hire a director to play a director on set.
I'm going to go on the record as saying that I think Star Wars new one will be good.
See, I like the prequels, so
I also am not against Jar Jar Binks.
I don't give a shit about Jar Jar Binks. I think that the prequels,
you know what happened,
more themes that can help us, as stories are supposed to teach us things. There's more themes about society and warning and all kind of,
it's very dressed, political.
Yeah, dressed up in crazy sci-fi alien world. It's such a great story of turning evil and how Nazism is bureaucratic and it comes up in a sneaky
way. You don't
way.
Think you're going to turn evil, but then you do.
Exactly.
There's a lot of Shakespearean
so much better than what I can imagine is this stupid tale of why are there X-Wings and TIE Fighters and Stormtroopers again when they beat them? Does that mean that you're bringing it back in some way? It's all very, seems terrible to me, but Jurassic World was the worst film of the year.
It was really bad. Okay, I saw Jurassic World in the most delightful setting, which was 4D. I don't know.
Oh,
if you've done
you were
that.
In like the box that has like smoke coming out.
Yeah,
of it,
and a chair.
It rumbles.
Yeah.
It's a rumble pack of movie theaters.
Exactly, it's the N64 rumble pack of movie theaters.
Yeah.
And that was constantly compelling.
Yeah.
But the writing, the acting, and every single camera choice in that film.
Well,
is
there
horrible.
Were almost no,
it,
the only,
it was directionless.
Yes, it was a completely
it felt directionless.
Film, and any choice,
that means without any director input.
Yeah, more like that. And every choice that he was forced to make was the wrong choice.
Yeah, like literally half the time I was like, the camera is looking at the wrong thing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they chose like the, not even the wrong angle. But, like the camera is on this person. It really should be on this person.
Yeah,
or
and also just blocking in the most like childish blocking of like people looking out or together standing towards the camera. And, like,
I know there actually was such horrible blocking. Like if you remember the scene at the end where the dinosaurs are fighting, why are they just like watching like from like 7 feet away?
Yeah.
Like couldn't they choreograph the dinosaur fight so that these people are constantly on the run and the dinosaurs are getting in their way? Why do they have to be still?
Also,
because there's no imagination.
Her character obviously being terrible character,
yeah.
All
yeah.
their characters, but
so bad.
She it would should be prosecuted for war crimes for like what she did. It's like she made decisions that led to so many people's deaths, and where they're like,
and
not
to mention
like,
a lot of
left.
Dinosaur deaths.
Yeah, well, you know, and so all these people, should we evacuate? No, not yet. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, it escaped. No, it didn't. Like, she made so many decisions that caused people's deaths.
I don't like getting into the, like, what do you call that? The
logic?
No, yeah, but there's like a name for that. The plausibility of movies. I don't care for that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
We save that for a different radio show.
Well,
podcast.
Everything is terrible in that. So I'm just trying to from the biggest decision to the smallest decision.
Poor.
Is wrong.
Piss poor.
Yeah, and that's also
and the fact
movie
that was a huge
loves.
Hit.
Yeah, I could not feel more disconnected from everyone.
But you know, actually, I would say maybe this is just a reflection of like the awesome people that I surround myself with. But I'd say 8 out of 10 people I talked to hated it as well.
Maybe. I mean, I saw a lot of people that understood what and just gave it the old, like, well, it's a popcorn flick. Like,
but
I
it was
no,
bad.
No, don't you get it? Movies are pieces of shit. And then I go and I watch with my popcorn. Yeah, movies suck. That's why I like it. I can go there and watch a piece of shit in the theater and just sit back and turn my brain off and watch a piece of garbage.
Yeah, that's an accurate rendering of the way people think and talk.
About what movies are now, I guess.
Yeah. I enjoyed the family film called Inside Out. Did you see
I haven't
that?
Seen Inside Out.
I would recommend it if only so that you could get inside a little girl. Inside her mind.
Yes, inside her mind. I saw a funny, I saw some funny little, I always look at the Disney porn. And they immediately
make Disney porn.
Well, like the drawings people draw.
Oh yeah, fan art.
But immediately,
Deviant
Inside
art.
Out. I couldn't believe that they even knew the likeness of the characters enough to immediately have a bunch of porn.
with. Did they do the porn of the inner brain character, just the little girl?
I think it was the little girl, and I think there might have been.
It'd be funnier. If it was,
yeah, I know. It's funny if it was the Amy Poehler,
like the anthropomorphized, like little, like, emotion.
Yeah, with little dicks and little, like.
Yeah, yeah, like
wispy
like
green
Lewis,
dicks.
Like Lewis Black's anger having sex
Fire
with,
dick.
Like, Amy Poehler's joy.
That's good. That's a good one. So that's good. Okay, there's
that's the sort of porn you like?
I send it to people.
What is the sort of porn? You never send it to me?
Yeah, because you don't.
I'm not very.
I'm only here because someone canceled tonight.
Not exactly. Someone said, "Is it okay if I can't make it tonight?" And I said, "Definitely."
Oh.
So.
Okay.
That's not canceling. They said I could come if you really want me to.
Yeah.
And I said no.
They're like, is this a thing?
No,
is this
I got
important thing?
I got a desperate guy.
Yeah, I'm very desperate.
Yeah.
So. Especially at this time in my life, I'm very vulnerable and desperate.
Yeah.
And
have you cried at all in the last 3 months?
Yes.
Regarding what? Someone in your family?
No, I think I.
Get close to the camera. Just confess.
I think
there's no audio.
No matter how much I cry mostly in movies.
Right.
In
I cried it Inside Out a lot.
Oh, that's good. And I normally just to cry, I'll put on a movie that I know I'll cry in.
What?
Just to feel.
Like, did Schindler's List make you cry? It makes me cry.
Yes, and I watch Schindler's List a lot. I watch
it's
it
a great
all the
film.
Time. It's one of the greatest films obviously ever made.
Yeah.
But it's the closest Steven that and Color Purple are like his indie films. Like, I've never seen there's so many he had this like ability, like, he's like, well, since I'm gonna make the Holocaust movies, like, then I'm gonna get a little crazy. And he's like constantly beautiful naked women in people's beds and stuff. You're like, I'm like, I've never seen so many naked people.
That movie is delightfully engaging.
Yeah.
It's
also
List,
very entertaining.
Schindler's List,
which
is
you could
one of the most
fault it for.
I think people did.
They did. But
a lot
it is,
of people did.
It is so easy to watch, and it is also his funniest film. There's more jokes in Schindler's List than I've ever seen in any Spielberg film, and they're all so funny. They're like the fun.
Schindler is funny.
Yeah.
Kingsley is funny.
I mean, Amon Goetz.
And the most evil Nazi is a walking clown.
Yeah, and I pardon you. It's like the funniest thing, but then he kills someone right after. It's like the strange. It's very subversive because you can say, like, oh, it's very entertaining, and it's like obvious. Oh, to tell a Holocaust story, you have to tell it through this good German who saves, like, a bunch of Jews when all of these other people died. But. It's almost very subversive that he's like, yes, I will make it about that, and I'm also going to make, like, all of this crazy imagery.
Look, like, oh, Spielberg,
with this
his,
Nazi,
his, his gift is that he gets entertainment.
Yes.
Like, he knows how to make shit entertaining. So I don't think he could make a Holocaust movie that was, like, super, like, just, like, dark. Like,
yeah.
You know? I mean, the movie is very emotional.
Yes.
And very sensitive.
Yeah.
And creates all these horrific images.
Yes.
That you feel horror. But
yes.
It also fetishizes evil in a way. And it fetishizes moral goodness.
Yes. He,
you know?
He is a fetish. He has a little silly streak where he's a fetish. He fetishizes gore and violence unlike anyone else. I've never seen more disturbing imagery than in Schindler's List. Amistad, when they, like, throw the people overboard with the chains, and you're like, oh my god.
Well,
Munich, there's like a knife to the head in Munich, and he uses these real events to honestly show you the most horrifying images. Obviously, Temple of Doom, he hates Temple of Doom, but that's like, I've never seen such violence as in Temple of
Melted.
Doom.
Melted.
Yeah.
Melting.
Well,
right?
No, with heart ripping out.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, and
but,
beating.
But
look, no. But let's don't, like, over-sensationalize the thing. There is a power to visceral images.
Yes.
He's not. I wouldn't ever argue that Spielberg is obsessed with, like, gore and violence. I think he's obsessed with the power of visceral images. He understands what his story is.
Yes.
Right, and the emotions he wants from people. And then he conjures up the appropriate visceral image, whether it's the E.T.'s alien finger touching the human boy's finger, or whether it's, like, the big spaceship and the, you know, the mountain of mashed potatoes.
Yes.
And, or if it's fucking, like, a knife to the head.
Yes.
Or it could be like occasionally poor choices. Like, I think also Munich.
The sex scene with the.
You're right. Yeah. It is an incredible film that is derailed by the last, like, probably 10 minutes where I rewatched it recently and I actually liked that scene.
I love that scene. And I love that scene because
it takes you out of it.
It is a very, like, child.
There's
kind
a scene,
of a childish, like, a child discovering this kind of sex mixed with. He's discovering it in some weird way, in some immature way.
Yeah, right. Like, the idea that he had to.
When he sees it all.
Like, the idea that he had to go through PTSD to be thinking about anything but his wife while he's having sex with her is comical.
But I there's nothing. I don't think a movie. Like, obviously, they say that about every movie. Like, there's not going to be movies made like this anymore. But watching Schindler's List, I was like, this is a major motion.
No, they
picture.
Could make Schindler's List again.
Well, they could make because, it only because you could always
people,
have a good Holocaust.
But, but here's the problem, actually. Because no hate towards any issues, but definite hate towards mise-en-scene and directing ability. Like, I would say people compare 12 Years a Slave to Schindler's List, and those movies could not be further from each other in terms of entertainment value, character insight, formal, like, power.
Yes.
You know,
I think that 12 Years a Slave is good. It's nowhere near as good as Schindler's List.
It's pretty good. I was not really enjoying it.
I know, and it's also, I mean, it is about different things, like the kind of banal, like just kind of boring, how boring it would be or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm bored, and it's like, in Schindler's List, you're never going to be bored in Schindler's List, all right? That's my review of it. You'll never be bored in Schindler's List.
Well, here's the thing.
It's three hours long.
It's more. You could have made a Holocaust film that was boring if you chose
a subject matter
about, like, Anne Frank
and
hiding, which is
also something that hasn't really been done, some kind of actual attempt at this kind of abstract, almost intangible kind of evil and suffering of it, and not just being like, I chose to tell the story of the pianist who, at the end, the German plays with him or whatever.
Is that your impression of Roman Polanski?
Yeah, that's it. Hi, who, ha. And so, but there is some world
how
where someone tackles a Holocaust movie with a complete abstract mind, different character, some kind of, you'd have to really do it all sorts of crazy just to, like, try to communicate it.
Well, actually, I think what you'd need to do, what you're talking about, is you'd have to make a film about the Holocaust that was, like, very clinical. First of all, there is an abstract film about the Holocaust called Night and Fog.
Well,
a fictional storyline, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
More of a fictional.
You'd have to do it in this sort of very, like, clinical way
that
might be very popular in the festival circuit.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's switch gears a little bit, but still maybe in movie world. Have you been in the festival circuit at all?
No.
Have you made movies? Okay. It's very peculiar.
I don't like it very much.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it. I think that it's very incestuous.
It's super.
And very, very, it's incest. It's somehow celebrating this sort of false creative independence while also branding it in a way that is as branded as anything, you know? It's
like,
how many movies can you have that are just like, hey, okay, so our famous people, they didn't have to do this shitty independent movie, but that's why you're watching it. You know, they're going to be up against a wall, flowers on the wallpaper, and their dad just died.
Okay. Wait, but, you know, that brings up an interesting question. Like, at what point does a music festival stop being, like, a independent thing where, like, it's all about just, like, I love music, and become a branded event where people go to do drugs and party? Like, you might argue that the original incarnation of a music festival was just a place that people went to party and do drugs and be seen and hook up and all this shit. Like, you know, there's not necessarily anything inherently different about the goals, right? So then it's all early about the posturing, right? And I think the problem with, like, a film festival circuit, except for, like, you know, Cannes or something on a really high echelon like Toronto that shows movies that actually come out in theaters, is that people are celebrating their, like, obscurity in a way, which is sad.
Yes.
And then there's, like, a whole sort of, like, coterie of critics and, like, sort of, like, you know, very small community of people who give a fuck
and
maybe write about things critically. And most of the time, no shade, just being real, like, that stuff does not deserve to be written about.
Yes, but, yes, I see what you're saying, yeah.
You know, most of the movies are bad. That being said, I think most of the movies produced for $100 million are horrible, too.
Yes. You know? That's the thing, is that with those smaller things that celebrate their own obscurity and all this, there is at least some kind of, in some of those cases, some kind of honesty about, it's a contextualist honesty of, like, why did we make this for absolutely no reason, and it's not for any reason. It's not to win anything.
I think that's the problem. I think most of the times when people make movies, they either make it for no reason or for some huge reason.
That's, like, super annoying.
And yeah, exactly. And it's like, no, you should make it because you want to make something, like, artful,
yes,
and communicative and new and creative and entertaining. But, like, you know, you have to be I don't know. People just have bad taste.
I think, and that's also the problem is, like, is that you're for an audience that can be persuaded by articles written about something, or what kind of community they're in.
At the same time, like, you and I, as just straight up people who speak English, and you know, are Americans or whatever, although I speak Russian as well. I do. A lot of the times when I'm watching a foreign film, like, let's say an Almodovar film,
yes,
or like a French film or something, like, I'll be like, wow, the acting's so good. Like these movies are wildly, like, performed and so good. But maybe if I understood Spanish, I would think the acting is piss poor.
I think sometimes that the acting is changed by the fact that you're reading subtitles.
Yeah,
and all
I think
that.
So. Definitely the writing is.
Yeah.
Because you cannot get away with half of the lines that you read in foreign films if you try to write them into American script.
Yes. Well,
like reading them is good. Then seeing someone say some of these lines is trash.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, just every single... there's too many... everyone's making movies. They all stink. There's too much.
Yeah, but you're making a bunch of bullshit, too. Like, look. Like, you're going out, and you're with your cell phone, and you're like, I'm making, like, some bullshit myself.
But that's about it, I guess.
Yeah. You feel you're critiquing the idea that everyone believes they're creative.
Exactly.
Now because they have access to this sort of democratized ability to create.
Yes. So
that's
then,
something we talk about a lot on the show.
Yeah, and that's something that I would do, and it's through the lens of, oh, well, everyone can do this stupid shit. Let's clutter it up. We're cluttering everything.
To do clutter, you'd have to produce 1,000 videos a day and under 1,000 different accounts and whatever. But you're critiquing it in terms of the content of what you're doing. Like, you're doing these stupid little songs.
Yeah.
And you're making a music video for them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby. But it's also critiquing. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's everyone. You know what? Everyone deserves a voice. I changed my mind.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, I do.
I don't think... Well, you see, you're joking, of course.
No.
But I don't think everyone deserves a voice. I actually...
So you're like an Ayn Rand sort of...
Yeah, I'm an objectivist.
I think that you need... I think that we should separate the smarties from the normies. And the normies cannot make anything.
Don't say normies. Just say the wheat from the chaff or whatever.
Oh, okay, well, the dodo brain normies.
Yeah.
I
think
they should have a strict rule on them that only the smartest people like you and I, Eugene, are allowed to sit in our ivory tower and and dictate what everyone should watch. And we have our specific critics that are allowed to... When you see the critic, you know that they're going to give you the truth about it. And then that's it.
Well, what do you think of the idea... Because I guess Jurassic Park kind of disproves this. But what do you think of the idea that if something sucks, people are not going to go see it? Is that true?
I don't think that's not possible.
Because of marketing.
Yeah, and Marvel, they did something where they were like... They made a slate of movies that goes for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And what that tells me is that it doesn't matter there's no choice. It's completely prearranged.
Preordained.
Yeah, or prearranged. I mean, in a way, it's like, we know, this is how, you know how stupid you are? We know that you're going to see this movie in
how bad our next five films are.
It does not matter. It won't have any matter. It has no...
But... What if the idea is like, hey, we have basically a studio system going on. We know what people like. Like, you know, like David O. Selznick or like Irving Thalberg or these guys, they knew what people liked.
But that,
and they had a
that
system
job,
in place.
That job is gone.
But
there's
Marvel,
no, job like
no
that.
Marvel has that. Marvel has that job. They have like a studio chief, right? And he's there, and he makes sure that if people aren't delivering the entertainment the way that their brand thinks it should be delivered, they get fired.
But that's also within the... It's like now what a studio was is now simply a set of five characters named Thor and Captain America and all this. They're not making movies. They're just making one big movie. And it's like a TV
show.
They're
not
it's
different.
One big TV show, and there's a guy that's a showrunner for the big TV show. But that doesn't mean that he's like some studio head that has this quality stamp. It's like they're just keeping in line that their TV show is
but
going.
He does have a quality stamp. Look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Right? But like, for instance, Edgar Wright, who I think is probably a good director, even though not every one of his movies is good.
Yeah.
He got fired from Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
Because the Ant-Man movie that he was making didn't fit with their concept of quality.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a quality thing, but it's just it doesn't
tone.
Fit. Because it was like, it's like, what if some guy came into whatever, Seinfeld or Mad Men, and was like, I'm going to do an entirely
black and white. Yeah.
They would say, no, that doesn't mean that it probably would be a good decision and interesting to allow such kind of crazy outliers.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's not necessarily different from what happened to, like, Orson Welles or something, right? Who, like, basically most people agree is a genius and was making vaguely entertaining films.
But then, the playing field was all film. It was all... You could make any movie, and this is just one TV show.
We're not talking about that right now. Yeah. What we're talking about, right, is the idea that the studios and the studio heads said, like, okay, this guy doesn't fit into our network. Like, what we're trying to do, he's not trying to do that, so fuck him. Let's toss him.
Well, what's your point?
I don't know.
All right.
I guess my point is that it's easy for us to assail these things. Like, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago. Like, I enjoy Westerns. Like, I watch Westerns, right? And I like them. And I was watching one, and I was like, is this intended for a 9-year-old in, like, the year 1955? Like, were there men, like, who are age 29 going to see a Western in 1955? Because I don't think so. I think this is for kids, but I like it. I don't know.
Well, not all of them are like that.
But, you know, not you know, the difference between, like, Avengers and The Dark Knight is pretty different.
Yes, and I do...
Do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yeah. And I do think that back then...
Well, I'm just saying, like, and they produced a lot of Westerns.
Yes, yes.
And now they're producing a lot of fucking... Superhero film. And that basically has a very similar morality. There's very like Batman and Spider-Man basically have the same problems that like John Wayne or Clint Eastwood has in a Western. Like, they help society, but they're not part of society. It's all the same shit. Like, you know, I'm just saying.
So you're kind of a little bit defending that every movie is a superhero movie because it's like back then they had all these Westerns and now they just all have superhero
films.
Yeah,
and they're intended for 10-year-olds, and if you want to be an adult and enjoy it, maybe you could. I don't know.
I mean, I think that I guess I...
I don't like these movies.
No, I know. Because
let me go on the record.
But at the same time, like, even the Western genre like allowed for there to be the greatest... film. I mean, I guess you could say that's The Dark Knight, but the greatest film to be told in this genre and or a very independent, slow-moving kind of film and all this. And it seems that all the superhero movies are still... There's a car that flips at some point and a blue light goes up in the air.
Yeah, but in all the Western movies, there's a showdown. You know, there's a horse, right? There's gonna be some sort of chase. Or there's going to be some, you know, it's a genre. There are modes, right? Like, there's going to be a saloon, or there's going to be some showdown. There's going to be a
character. Yeah, but there are also other films back then, too. Besides.
Exactly.
we need more of those other films.
I know. Well, the way the market works now is that there's fucking TV shows.
Yeah.
And then there's streaming random movies from festivals that you never heard of.
Well, this has been said a million times, but TV shows are the movies, and that movies are the TV shows or whatever now or whatever.
I don't fucking know.
That.
Hey, man, I resisted TV for a long time. I'm still not fully there.
All I watch is American Heroes Channel.
What is that?
It's AHC, and it's only World War II stuff all day long, and that's
recently
all
I saw. Did you know Trump tweeted this photo today that said, like, let's make America strong
guys,
again.
By the way, Trump, come on, man.
Yeah.
Are you serious, man?
Look at the camera. You're obviously...
Trump? Are you serious? Like, what are you? I must be dreaming. This is a joke. Come on, man. Yeah, you're fired, Trump. Yeah.
I mean, it is like one of the three main signifiers of a dystopic future when the sort of wigged out, literally, host of a reality TV show becomes the president of a country. Like, yeah. That's an indicator that we're living in some sort of weird dystopic future.
Yeah, I mean, they would all be on that show. If they're all weird sociopaths. If someone told me... If I knew someone and they said they were running for president, I would think that they were insane. I would be like, how insane do you have to be to believe in you? Do you think you want to be president?
You would never know anyone running for president.
I could.
You will never know.
I mean, I might run for president one day.
Right.
I'm white enough.
Nope. White is out, dude. Are you going to vote? I've never voted before.
No, I hate it. I hate voting.
You're not excited about Bernie Sanders, right?
I mean, I guess if out of all of them, I think a kind of like loosened tie, exasperated old man going like,
sounds like Larry David.
What's happening? Like, oh God! Like that, I would be a funnier president than some slick guy. Would be some guy just like, we are fucked. Like, help me with the papers. Like that kind of seems like Bernie Sanders. So that's fun. That's more interesting, just simply visually interesting, this old man just trying to, we gotta get back, we gotta make it right.
What are you doing? You're trying to fuck something?
Papers, he just has papers everywhere. Oh, God. Oh, the wedding, I'm at a wedding and I owe...
Why would the president doesn't go to weddings unless it's for his daughters.
Did you have was Obama on this, on K-Chung?
Yep. Yeah. He was on last week.
I heard he was coming around these
so
parts.
It was so boring.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like, crickets chirping, like, who cares?
No, not like us.
All right, Nick, it looks like we're about to end the show, it seems like.
Wow, what a successful show.
I mean, can you believe it? Didn't that go by so fast?
Wow.
I'm sure we discussed a lot of great things that people are very excited about.
When one of us pulls a mass murder, they'll watch this little Google Hangout. And it'll be very scary for them to watch it.
Neither of us will commit a mass murder. It will be truly scary to watch it because there's no audio.
There's no audio. Whoever would watch it would be the first person to watch it after the killing.
Yeah, it would be a silent film. They would need to get a whole army of lip readers in here to try to decipher what we've been saying. And then when they do decipher,
they would also
going to be fucking disappointed.
They would also make like a video mashup of us, like a glorifying one of us in slow motion with like a neg art on and then like a gun like shooting.
Should we high five each other so they can like slow mo that? Yum. You know, every time, like, one out of every three times I'm pitching a music video these days,
yeah,
it's about a school shooter or something.
Oh.
And bands do not like it.
Well,
bands and their labels, for some reason,
bands are also like movies. Most of them suck.
Yeah. For some reason, these bands don't want to make a music video that promotes their music with the imagery of a person pulling up to, a parking lot of a mall.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they look into their trunk.
That's where I would do it.
They look in their trunk.
That's where I would do it.
And they have a bunch of guns and bombs in their trunk. And then you just hard cut, you don't show them closing their trunk, you just hard cut to them hanging out at the mall, eating at the food court, going to shop at PacSun.
Yeah.
And that's the whole video. They don't shoot anybody. But that had just so much tension. Like, I've been trying to pitch this for, one wants this.
Can I be the guy?
Oh, I would like the band members to be the guy.
Forget about them.
I mean, yeah, we can just make that.
I know. You know that I don't give a shit about anyone.
You know, I don't want to cast white guys anymore. It's so boring.
I know, but that now makes it less boring now.
Right. I'm gonna have a backlash.
Backlash.
Anti-reaction.
Yes.
I'm gonna only do white guys.
Please.
In 2022. So you gotta wait like 7 more years.
Right. Civil War Part 2. Right. The day that it comes out, Avengers Civil War Part 2.
Right.
You'll be making white people videos.
White people movies.
You gotta stick together, man.
Is this gonna
hurt?
White
people.
I just poked him with this. Okay, so I'm giving you this opportunity. You're turning red because you realize how problematic to say that. We've got to stick what together, white people.
No, that's no. I say it from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. So this is your opportunity to say some last final thoughts. Three, 4 months from now, is Nick Quarosi a successful guy? What's your rent in your apartment?
What's
your rent in your apartment?
What does success mean to
I'm gonna
you?
I'm gonna get to that.
Everyone has to have their own personal level of, or understanding of what success is. Sometimes a success for me could be a family.
You're evading the question.
I think it's a family for me.
4 months from now, you're gonna have
I'm gonna have a kid.
Two kids, a dog, a wife that doesn't want to have sex with you.
I'll trick a widow into loving me.
I definitely, like, if the set of circumstances allowed for this to somehow happen, like, I wouldn't like scam this into being. But if somehow I was in a position to marry an 80-year-old woman who was rich, had a great house or apartment, a dog, and only wanted
you
to go watch
scoop up all her
only
cash
wanted to go watch movies all day,
yeah,
I would gladly be married to that person for at least 3 to 9 years without, like, beginning to think about scheming her death.
Yes, yeah.
So that could be success for me. But no, what's your rent in your apartment?
Like 13 something.
13. What are your other expenses? You pay your phone bill?
Yeah.
You pay loans? You have college loans?
No.
So you're lucky.
Yeah.
You got a scholarship, your parents helped you.
Scholarship.
Fully a scholarship.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Miami. It was a Florida State school.
FSU.
Yep.
Okay. You got the phone or electricity, whatever. Your debts per month are something like $1,750. If you live really, like, a really, really basic life, you're not going out having fun, you're not using narcotics, mm-hmm, you don't get into a car accident, mm-hmm, you don't do an oil change. So you need to make that, mm-hmm, right? Is that going to be a problem for you, or you're fine?
Potentially could be a problem for me.
You have a little nest egg saved up from all of your days of working? And
I do have a nest egg, but I'm. This is all very interesting that we're talking about this.
Well, we only got a few more... Right, Bri? We only got a few more minutes. Is that right? We got 5 more minutes? Okay. So let's talk about it.
Hey, I'm listening, Eugene. And Bo,
No. Unrelated.
Great job.
Yeah, you wish.
Guys, right? You guys are great. Like, you guys, your little musings.
So we're talking about the 1750s.
Yeah, so I gotta make that, and I have something that could pay that, maybe coming up, a TV thing.
Hard
so
to say, right?
It is.
Is it a TV gig, or it's a whole TV environment?
It would be a TV environment.
Wow, so you're going on a meeting, you're pitching this?
We're pitching all sorts of shit.
You're pitched out.
I'm pitching.
You're Nolan Ryan, right?
I'm throwing fire.
Yeah, but so theoretically, this could be greenlit in the next 2 weeks?
It could be. Let's do it. Hey, guess what? You're going to be invited to my set.
Wow, great. So just document, take some photos?
Yeah, I want you to video. You're the behind-the-scenes director.
BTS.
Yeah,
great.
Please.
Great.
My favorite kind of porn, BTS. It's true.
Have you ever heard of a thing called vor?
No.
It's a fetish where people enjoy being consumed by inanimate objects or, like, weird animals that don't exist. Look into
it. I like that. I mean, I've seen all where the guy who gets the brand new Jordans and pisses in them, people that get into suits and then get into bathtubs and in their full suit, people that glue they put diapers on then glue their diaper to a chair and they can't get up. those fetishes are great.
Yeah, that last one sounds
the pie like to the face girls. Like,
crush films, you know about that.
No, what's that?
That's where women in high heels step on chicks, cats, kittens.
Car stuck girls.
Now, see, this conversation, like, nothing we said before, I think, would really have anyone believe that we could be school shooters. But this specific conversation,
yeah,
and the fact that there's no aura of self-awareness to your... earnest
confession of watching these.
And I don't love them.
No, I don't jack off to them. But
right.
Car stuck girls are girls that they get their car stuck in mud and they can't get it out of the mud, and they continuously, and they're also in high heels, and you see them pushing on the accelerator, and then they go, I'm stuck. Like, I can't get out of this mud. I'm stuck.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's good.
Do you default to a character voice trope mask when you go out socializing in public?
Yeah, yeah, I don't, well, when I go, I normally don't talk, I, you know, I go alone and I don't talk to anyone.
If you go alone, you don't talk to anyone, but if you go with your friends, you do.
Yeah, I guess I just talk to my friends, so I guess it what, sounds like
the
this.
Point, what's the point of going to somewhere and not talking to people? So you don't go out that much?
I don't go out that
okay,
much.
Okay, so what if this meeting doesn't really, what if you don't get greenlit?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm also trying to, I'm going to be famous.
Right.
So, yeah. So hopefully that works for me.
Yeah. So if your TV show thing isn't greenlit,
I'll be famous.
Then you'll just sort of backup plan famous.
Famous. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you think all those famous people who don't really make or do anything get money? Just sort of like they let themselves promote, they become a brand whores?
Kind of yeah, a lot of people also do what I is they do these like big corporate events where they just
they
like
show up.
They grill the CEO about something, like, you know. Like, hey, we got, you know, the guy from whatever, Community, the TV show.
Yeah.
He's here and he's like, hey, Larry, yeah, nice tie, Larry.
Oh, you mean it's like a big, they roast them?
Yeah, big corporate event.
Oh, yeah.
And they like.
I was recently, well, this will be our last note because we want to give Brian a chance to play more music. But I was recently watching Don Rickles roasting Jerry Lewis, and it was delightful.
I love all those old roasts.
I like new ones, too.
Yeah.
Some of them are funny.
Yeah.
Like the guy who's dead, Greg Giraldo, that guy's funny.
Yeah.
That guy's really funny.
He's not on any t-shirts.
What do we start the show with saying that people, like Derek Jeter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, Nick, thanks so much for coming on air. This is another thing you can swim up. But look, hey, I'm exactly the audience for those shooters. You know, like, I analyzed Elliot Rodgers' like 130-page diatribe. Like, I wrote notes.
Yeah, there is no possibility that you would ever read.
No one's going to read my 130-page journal.
No, unless.
And it's going to be way.
Unless.
I become a successful killer.
No, killer.
Or entertainer.
Even if you were on a TV show, I don't think people would read your 100. You'd have to kill.
All of my co-stars.
All your co-stars.
TV
and then it's a guaranteed your book is read and published. I've never seen anything more true in my life.
I've made, you know, like I films that deal with violence and terrorism.
Whoa, you're about to get
stuff.
A whole new audience, my man.
Do you deal with that? Like, I've cast myself as a domestic terrorist. Like, do you broach? Like, see, I'm interested in actually broaching those subjects.
No, I'm very interested in psychotic behavior.
Well, yeah, you are actually more psychotic than I am. Like, you are interested in engaging in pranking behavior that it mimics acts of domestic terror, but not really. Like if you
one day I'll work my way up to actually doing it and not filming it.
Okay, and with that note, thanks for tuning in to another great episode. I guess we got one viewer who's tuning in a little bit too late.
Sorry, everyone.
And you can't hear us anyway.
You missed the boat.
Another great episode of Open Up and Bleed here on K-Chung Radio. Nick Corosi, thanks for coming on and joining me here. And I loved our conversation.
Hey.
And I wish you luck paying your rent.
Thank you. You too.
And stay tuned for another crazy fun hour with Brian. Wow.